Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Today we're talking about the one thing that probably keeps you up at night more than anything else, and that is worry and anxiety. Now, if there were a spectrum of worry and anxiety that represented in the room, I know that there are those special few of you that are all the way over here, and man, your spouse has to check your pulse every once in a while to make sure that you're alive, because you don't worry about anything. To you, I just say congratulations. We're very happy for you that you don't struggle in that area. You can still take notes and give it to someone else today, okay? The other side of the spectrum, there are those of you that literally worry about everything. Maybe you came in this morning and you thought, my spiritual gift that I benefit the rest of the body is worry. Like, that's my gift, and I'm going to carry the potential problems of all the world so that you don't have to. You're welcome. The rest of us find ourselves somewhere in the middle. Or maybe even this morning you come in and there's something that, man, it's got a hold on your heart. Anxiety and worry is just sticking up its head over and over in your life. Here's what I'd say. No matter where you fall in that spectrum today, I believe that Jesus has you here for a reason. His word speaks directly into this part of in problem of worry. And what I love about this text that we're going to be looking at, Luke chapter 12, again, if you haven't turned there, go ahead and open your Bible there, Luke chapter 12, is that Jesus really does some digging. Because he doesn't want to just tell you how to deal with worry. He is going to do that, but he wants us to really get to the root problem of our worry and anxiety so that he, through his special touch, can provide healing this morning. And so this is a great passage, Luke chapter 12. If you would, read it with me. I'm going to read the whole thing today, and then we'll go back and begin to work our way through it. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22, it says these words. This is the word of God. And he said to his disciples, this is Jesus with his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. It's the word of God today. Now, as we read that, I think we can all agree, man, this is this incredibly rich passage. It has so much to tell us. And yet, if you want a thesis statement for everything that Jesus is trying to get across for you as a believer, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you get it in that very first verse when he says what? He says, do not be anxious about your life. That's it. That's the command. He says, if you're a believer in Jesus and you're living in anxiety and worry, you don't need to do that. You don't need to live that way, okay? That's what he says. And you say, well, Ryan, what are we talking about here? And he says, don't be anxious about your life. What is he getting at? Well, he goes on. He says, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. The great thing about Jesus is he knows what's going on in our hearts. Do you know that today? Like, as you came into this room, Jesus knows exactly what is going on in your hearts. And when it comes to this first century audience, he knows the main questions that were circulating in their hearts was this: am I going to have enough food to put on the table today? Are my crops going to grow enough? This wasn't a rich society. Are my crops going to grow enough so that I can feed my family? As the individuals that are sitting there looking at their clothing, they're wearing the same thing day after day. They're looking at it, clothing, and they know it's worn. Their kids' clothing is worn. Here's the question. Are we going to have something to wear tomorrow? These were the questions that were causing anxiety and worry in his culture. Now, if Jesus were to come here to Cross Church and 2,000 years later, I think you may approach this differently. Most of you in this room, I would imagine, are not worried about if you're going to eat lunch right after this service. Now, you may be worried about where you're going to eat lunch, if your spouse is going to win out, or your kids are going to win out, or you're going to win out, but it's not if. If Jesus were to come to us today, here's what he may say. Do not be anxious about your pending retirement. Do not be anxious about whether or not you're going to be married someday. Do not be anxious about that health report that you're waiting on the doctor for. Do not be anxious about that child that seems to be making a lot of unwise decisions. Do not be anxious about that. This. Do not be anxious about your life. Now, before you send me angry emails, just remember, this isn't me. This is Jesus, okay? He's saying, do not be anxious. You do not have to live a life plagued with anxiety and worry if you are a believer. But the question becomes, well, Jesus, how do we stop then? Like we got to all admit, we worry in some ways. There's things that plague our hearts with anxiety. So, Jesus, what do we do about that? Well, in this passage, I believe that Jesus gives us what I'm just going to call three truth statements that will help you to combat worry and anxiety in your life. Okay, if you're taking notes, these are three truth statements. Craig Rochelle, in his book, Winning the War in Your Mind, it's a great book. We've recommended it to you before. He says this statement. He says, your life is moving in the direction of your greatest thoughts. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest and greatest thoughts. That's another way of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying this. If your life is plagued with anxiety and worry, here's the problem. Your thinking is off. You're allowing your mind to go to places as a believer that it's not meant to go, with the result that you're living in worry and anxiety. You've got to change your thinking. You've got to replace some of these lies that you believe with the truth of what I am giving to you. Did you notice twice in this passage, he says, consider. Consider the ravens of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. You want to know what that word consider means? It means to ponder and think deeply about. Okay? To ponder and to think deeply about. So here's what Jesus is saying. That next time that worry pops up in your heart, here's what you need to do. Heart, I'm gonna begin to make you think about some things. Whatever it is I'm worried about, I'm gonna begin to make you think about some things. I'm gonna change my thinking. So I need to consider these things. I need to consider some facts this morning. What are those truths? Here's fact number one, truth statement number one. My life is more than what I'm worried about. My life equals more than what I am worried about. Verse 23, Jesus says this. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Now, this is really, really important that you get here. Notice that Jesus does not say that food or clothing are unimportant. He doesn't say you don't need to work for those things. He doesn't say you don't need to prepare for those things. Like those things are important. I am so glad today that all of you came in with clothing. That was a good thing that you did this morning. Clothing is important. Food is important. Just like that doctor's visit is important. Just like that retirement that you're waiting on is important. Just like that child who's wandering away from the faith, just like they're important. He says it's okay to live and to work on these things, but here's the root problem of worry. It's when these good things become the ultimate thing in your heart. You want to know the cause of your worry? It's when these good things become the thing that you become most devoted to rather than Jesus and his kingdom. He says that's when worry and anxiety begins to take hold of your heart. Another pastor named Andy Stanley, in one of his sermons, said this phrase, and it's always stuck with me. Here's what he said. The thing that you are most devoted to will determine what you worry about the most. Have you ever seen that take place in your heart? The thing that you're most devoted to is the thing that you will worry about the most. That's really what Jesus is getting at here. If you want to know what is the thing that has a hold of my heart, follow the trail of your worry, and it will lead you to the thing that you're most devoted about. Let me just give you an illustration of how this takes place. I'm going to just make a little pastoral confession. You know, this may be not something you want to hear this morning, but I'm going to give you a confession from one of your pastors, and here's my confession. I have never, ever, not one night, stayed up all night thinking and worrying about your kids' grades. Can I just tell you that? You say, Ryan, do you not care about my kids? 100% I do. I hope they ace the test. I hope they can get into Harvard, whatever it is. Why would you worry about your kids' grades? And I don't. Because I've not spent one day devoted to your kids doing well in school. So I don't worry about it. In the same way, here's another confession. I've never spent one night up all night worried about your retirement. Now again, do I hope you do great? Absolutely, I hope you do great. I hope that you're able to go on that Alaskan cruise and go snorkeling with the polar bears or whatever they do in Alaska. Hope you can do all those things, okay? Why are you worried about it, but I'm not? Because I've never devoted myself to what's gonna happen after you're done with your job. We worry about the things we're devoted to. And so here's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, you have to be very careful, Christian, about what value you place on things that are not God. You gotta be careful. When you take something that is not God, even if it's a good thing, and you make it the number one devotion of your heart, you make it the thing that you're looking to for security. You make it the thing that you're looking to for joy. You make it the one thing you're looking to for your identity. When you place that thing as the throne of your heart, he says, here's the problem. You're gonna be plagued with constant worry and anxiety. Can I show you how this may take place? Let's talk about money. You look at any statistic, any poll out there, they'll say the number one thing that Americans are most worried about is their money. Well, it shouldn't surprise us that that same thing was happening 2,000 years before now. In fact, this passage where Jesus talks about anxiety, do you realize that it's in the midst of a broader conversation about money? You look back at chapter 12 in the verses that are leading up to this, and a man comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I want you to make sure that my brother gives me the inheritance that I deserve. And that day, that's how it worked. The older brother got the inheritance. He was worried that there was gonna be an injustice, and he's worried about his financial future, and he says, Jesus, you gotta make sure he does that. Well, instead of answering the man, Jesus begins to tell a parable. And he moves into this great parable about a rich man who had lots of money, but instead of giving it away, instead of using it to be rich toward God, instead of even enjoying his money, what did he do? He built bigger and bigger storehouses, built bigger and bigger barns. Why? Because he's worried about his financial future. Jesus says, unfortunately, that night his life was taken from him and he lost the one thing that mattered most. What? His soul. Because he'd given his heart to something that was not God. It's in the midst of this whole conversation that Jesus digs into our worry. Now, can we all just agree? Money is not a bad thing. I'm thankful for money. Money pays for gas. It pays for bills. It pays for the entire Alabama Crimson Tide football team, okay? So we're all very thankful for money. I'm just kidding, all you Alabama fans. We love you. So thankful for you. Money's a good thing. But here's the problem. When money becomes the ultimate thing in your heart, you're always gonna be worried about it. You're gonna be worried about getting more. When you don't have it, you're gonna be thinking, how can I get more? How can I get more? How can I get more? And then when you get it, you worry about losing it. You worry about how am I gonna keep it? Because it's the ultimate thing. Jesus is saying this, your life is more than money. It's more than the accumulation of a great retirement account. Your life is more than that. Can we talk about another one? Let's talk about possessions. And how often do you get worried and anxious about some possession that you have in your life? Have you ever noticed that when you're broke, you don't care about stuff nearly as much as when you're able to buy nicer things? I've seen this in my own life. Even recently, for the last 8 years, I have driven a very cheap Honda Fit, okay? It's a very little car. It's perfect for San Francisco, not so perfect for Northwest Arkansas. But I would drive it. You wanna know how many times I worried about getting scratches or dents or dings on my car? Zero, okay? Did not care one bit what happened to that car. Just drive it, I don't care. Well, a couple weeks ago, my parents, through a series of events, they gave to us a Highlander limited edition that they no longer needed. And so here's what I did. I upgraded to a great mom car, okay? That's what I did in that moment. But it's a nice car, and you wanna know what happened? All of a sudden, I find myself when I'm in the Sam's parking lot, worried about where I'm gonna park because I don't wanna get scratches and dings on that car. I find myself yelling at my children, do not put fries in the back seat. Like I'm getting onto them, why? Because this silly possession all of a sudden has a greater grip on my heart than I want to realize. And there's worry and there's anxiety. That's a funny example. Can I talk about one that's not so funny? Can we talk about our kids? Man, it's a tough one. Here's what the Bible says about our kids. They say kids are a gift from the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord. Here's what that means. As a parent, man, I'm called to provide for my kids. I'm called to protect my kids. I'm called to lead them spiritually. But here's a question for you. Can you do everything in your power to keep them from the darkness of the world? Yes, but can you keep them from all the darkness of the world? The answer is no. And that horrifies some of you. With the result that man, you try to control your kid's life. You're placing them as the ultimate devotion of your heart. My life equals my kids. Can I just tell you, friend, while that may look good on the outside, friend, it is not healthy. Amen. Your kids are a gift from the Lord, but here's the thing, they are not meant to be the God of your life. The moment they become that top devotion of your heart, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna surround them and hover over them, make them miserable, but you're also gonna live your own life with constant anxiety and worry. Your children are not meant to be the God of your life. And so Jesus, he's trying to peel back the curtain today to say, you wanna look at your worried about, could it be that the very thing that you're worried about the most is actually something that you're trusting in more than me? See, Jesus is trying to get us to understand the greatest way to combat worry is to place our devotion on something that this world cannot take it away. And I love that's why you look at the very end of the passage. He had started with, do not be anxious about your life. So what are we supposed to live our life for? Look at verse 31. He says, but instead seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. Friends, that's a promise. Jesus says, here's the thing, if you make me the number one devotion of your heart, you make spending time with me the number one thing, you make obeying and pleasing me the number one thing, here's my promise to you, I can take care of the details of your life. I have the power that can control and move things in such a way that I will take care of you. You say, well, does that mean I'm gonna live a perfect life? No, but here's his promise, I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna give you what you need for every single moment. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament is that moment where Jesus interacts with two sisters named Mary and Martha in their home. You remember that? Jesus enters their home and Mary comes, and I love it. She comes and she sits at the feet of Jesus. She just wants to be with Jesus. She wants to hear what he has to say. She wants to obey him. All the while, what does Martha do? Martha's frantic. She's running around the room preparing things. She's anxious, she's worried. She's trying to get the house all ready for Jesus. And she's even angry at Mary for not doing anything. Do you remember what Jesus said to Martha in that moment? Here's what he said, Luke chapter 10. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. I gotta wonder how many of us in this room came in with all sorts of worries and anxieties. We're trying to control our situation. We're trying to run fervently, trying to fix things. All the while Jesus says, friend, one thing is necessary. Put your trust in me, come to me. Your life is more than what you're worried about. Your life is meant to be designed to live for me and my kingdom. You do that, I'll take care of the details of your life. How many of us need to transfer our devotion this morning? Well, that's truth statement number one. My life is more than what I'm worried about. But here's number two, and we're gonna move quick through this one, but it's important. Here's what it is. My worry does nothing to change the future. No matter how much you may think that you staying up all night changes the future, here's a truth statement. My worry does nothing to change the future. Look at verse 25. Jesus says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing such as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Man, Jesus, he asks great questions, doesn't he? In essence, here's the question on the table. How many of you have changed one thing about your future by staying up all night worried about it? None of us, right? Here's an even better question. How many of you have added 1 hour to your life or to your kid's life or to your spouse's life because of your cardio workout of worry, okay? The answer is none of us, right? We know from science that it's actually the opposite that takes place. The more you worry, the years you're taking off your life. Scientists recently came out with a study, and they said this, 75% of all doctor's visits are stress or anxiety related. Think about that. 75% of all doctor's visits are stress or anxiety related. Dr. Charles Mayo of the famed Mayo Clinic, he once said it this way. He said, worry affects your circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system. Though I have never known a man who died of overwork, I have known a whole lot who died of worry. Friend, worry is not helping your tomorrow. Worry is just a waste. You see, really what worry is, it's a desire for control. And here's the illusion. If I can control the future, then by worrying about it, then it's going to change the future. No, truth statement. My worry does nothing to impact the future. In fact, it just robs me of today. It robs me of the joy and the peace that I'm supposed to have in this moment in my relationship with Christ. Do you know that even great Christians battle anxiety? One of the greatest pastors, theologians of the last really 300 years is a guy named Charles Spurgeon. He's a man that battled great anxiety. And so let me just say this. We're all going to battle anxiety. It's how we deal with it. Okay? We're all going to battle it. All of us in this room, we're going to have seasons of battling anxiety. But here's what he says about anxiety. He says this, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. Have you ever experienced that? It doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it just empties today of its strength. It robs you. It takes away from your life. It does not add anything to it. I think some of us need to wake up in the morning and just remind ourselves every single day, my worry does not change the future. You say, well, Ryan, there's not a lot of hope for that. You're like, what am I going to do? If my worry doesn't change the future, then what hope do I have for the future? Well, then there's this third statement, and this is really the most important. My Heavenly Father loves me today and can be trusted with my tomorrow. How would your life change if you really believe that statement? That I have a Heavenly Father. He's a father, he cares about me, but he's also heavenly. He has unbelievable power that loves me today and can be trusted with my tomorrow. Where do we get that? Again, look at verse 24. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? As you read through the Gospels, here's what's going to happen. Oftentimes when Jesus teaches, he teaches from the lesser to the greater. If you read through the Gospels, you're going to see this over and over where he says, if this lesser thing is true, then how much greater is this other truth? And that's what he's doing here. He's saying, here's what you need to do, friend. I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about birds, and I want you to think about lilies. Now, if you're super anxious this morning, you're probably thinking, Jesus, I don't got time to think about birds and lilies, right? I got a lot of problems. I got this work situation. I got this family dysfunction. Like I got lots of things to be anxious. Jesus says, think about the birds. Think about the lilies. Think deeply about these two things. What's his point? Well, I don't know a lot about birds, okay? There are some of you in this room, some of you watching online, you know a lot more about birds than I do. You can see a bird and you know the name of that bird. You can hear a bird and you can say that. I don't know a lot, but here's what I do know. Birds do not have 401k plans, okay? They don't. Birds, they don't compete for fancy job titles. Birds don't build storehouses like Walmart where they can just get unlimited bird seed. Birds don't do any of those things. In the same way, lilies, they don't plant themselves. Lilies don't wake up in the morning and think, well, what am I going to do to get enough sun and enough water so that I can display my beauty to the world? They don't do any of those things. Here's the point. Birds and lilies are helpless, completely helpless. And yet, what does the Bible say? God provides for them. They don't do anything. They don't have intentionality. They don't have 5-year strategic plans. And yet God provides for them. This is an incredible truth. Here's the question that Jesus is putting on the table. If we serve the kind of God that cares enough to provide for birds and lilies, do you not think that he desires to provide for you even more than that? Friend, here's what I'd tell you. Whether you realize it or not today, you are born and made in the image of God. You go back to the book of Genesis, go back to creation. It's a crazy account. You see God making all these amazingly beautiful, magnificent things. But before he makes us, before he makes man and woman, he says, no, this is going to be different. This is the crown jewel of my creation. I'm going to make man and woman in my image. In other words, they are made to be in relationship with me. I love them so much that I'm going to build this relationship. Well, as you read the rest of Genesis, you know that sin enters the world. Adam and Eve turn their back on God and they run from God, just like all of us do. We sin, and yet God says, no, no, no. I love them so much so that even in the midst of their sin, I'm going to send a Savior to bring about their forgiveness, a Savior to restore them to myself, a Savior that will give them eternal life. But it's not just going to be any Savior. I'm not just going to give them a goat or a lamb. I'm going to send my very own son to go and die in their place, taking the punishment that they deserve. That's how much I love them. And so Jesus, he says, the next time you go to that thought of, well, oh, no, 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 oh, no, what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen the next day and what's going to happen a week from now, the moment you get into that, he wants you to stop and say, does God love you more than he loves a bird? Does he? I'm going to just ask it again. I want you to answer it out loud. Do you believe that God loves you more than a bird? Okay, that's good. Some of you are not convinced. Look at your neighbor real quick and say, I believe God loves you more than he loves a bird. Go ahead. Okay. That's better. Question number two. Do you believe God loves you more than a lily? Okay, that's stronger. Okay, we're getting there this morning. If those two things are true, then do you not believe that God can care for the day-to-day needs of your life? If he cares enough about birds and lilies and he loves you more than, can he not provide for you? The answer really should be obvious if you're a Christian. Romans chapter 8, incredible verse. Verse 32 says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Not just some things. But if he didn't spare his own son because he loved you that much, how will he not give us all things? In other words, what more could God do to prove his love for you? He sent his son. It's like my kids when we went on a vacation this summer to Colorado. There was this really special day that I planned for my kids where we went horseback riding in the Rockies. It was incredible. We went hiking. We did all these fun things. And yet at the end of the day, we were about 30 minutes past when we would normally eat. And my kids, after all that, looked at me and said, Dad, are we not ever going to eat? Ever been there, parents? I wanted to look at my kids and say, yeah, child, that's exactly right. I paid for us to come all the way to Colorado. I did all these things. I planned all these fun events, and I did all of this so that I could bring you to this moment to starve. That's exactly what I did. It's ridiculous to think that, right? How much more ridiculous to look at our God who sent his son to a tortuous death through crucifixion on the cross for us, that we would think he can't handle whatever it is I'm worried about tomorrow. Right? That he can't handle it. God can handle it. And so here's the step today for many of us as we come into this room and we're worried and anxious about many things. Here's what we got to do. We got to begin to reason with our heart. We need to reason with it and say, no, 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 heart, you need to remember God loves you more than you could ever imagine. God knows every hair that's on your head. He knows every tear that has fallen down your cheek. And if he did not spare his own son, he will take care of you. We need to begin to reason with our hearts. We need to think with these truth statements. My life is more than what I am worried about. Friend, how many of you in this room, as you look at your own worries, God's just revealing, he's pulling back the layers today. And here's the thing that he's revealed. Something has taken precedent in my heart over my relationship with Christ. There's something that all of a sudden I've believed this lie, my life equals that thing. When in reality, it doesn't. It equals Jesus and his kingdom and his purpose for me. Today, if that's you and you're here, we're going to move into a time of response. And here's this action step for you today. It's for you to transfer your devotion. If you're worried about something, it's time to transfer your devotion. You say, Ryan, how do I do that? Take whatever it is that you're worried about and bring it to the feet of Jesus. You say, Ryan, but I did that yesterday and I'm going to have to do it again. Here's what I tell you. Anxiety and worry, it's a daily battle. But here's something even greater news. We serve a daily God. We serve a daily God. One of my favorite passages, Lamentations chapter 3, says this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You say, Ryan, I've got a new worry today than I had yesterday. His mercies await you this morning. You say, Ryan, I've got this massive family situation. His mercy awaits you this morning. Ryan, I've got this thing at work and I don't know what's gonna happen. His mercy awaits you this morning. Come and transfer your devotion from whatever that thing is to Jesus. My life is more than what I'm worried about. But then let's remind ourselves of that second truth. My worry does nothing to change the future. Friend, here's the illusion that you were ever in control. You aren't. Some of us need to surrender that control today. Say, Jesus, I know my worry is not changing anything, but you can change it. And then finally, the third truth statement: my heavenly Father loves me today and can be trusted with my tomorrow. When I say that God is a heavenly Father, can I just be honest with you? There are some of you today that you're in this room or you're watching online and you don't have a relationship with God. And today, I have bad news for you. Everything I've said today, it doesn't apply. You have plenty of reason to be worried and anxious if you do not have a relationship with Jesus. But even your worry and anxiety, it's not over the things that you need to be worried about. Your greatest concern today should be this: if you were to die today, you'll spend eternity in separation from God in a real place called hell. That's not me. That's what the Word of God says. Because of our sin, we all deserve death. But the great news is this: you have a heavenly Father who has done everything necessary for you to be restored back into relationship with Him. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross, and He raised Him from the dead so that you could be saved. Today, I am asking you, I'm pleading with you, do not leave this place without making sure that you have a relationship with God. You say, what does that look like? Here's the simple solution. You turn from your sin and you put your trust in Jesus. You live your life instead of being devoted to yourself and doing things your way. You said, no, Jesus, from this day forward, I'm gonna be devoted to you. And in the moment that transfer happens, is what the Bible calls repentance. It says that you will be saved, that you will be brought into the family of God, where you have a heavenly Father who will take care of you in this life and in the life to come. In just a moment, we're gonna have leaders at the front of our stage. And if that's you, you say, Ryan, I need to give my life to Christ for the very first time. I need Him to deal with this anxiety problem. I'm gonna look to Him, I'm gonna give my devotion to Him. Friend, would you please leave your seat? Everybody else is gonna be standing. Would you leave your seat, come and grab the hand of one of our leaders? We would love to lead you into a relationship with Christ this morning. But then I also know that there are many more of you who are Christians. You are disciples. And I wonder how many Jesus would look at us just like He looked at His disciples 2,000 years ago, and He'd say, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. I can tell you this, I would imagine there are many moments where Jesus has looked at my life, even in the last week. We had a daughter that was in the emergency room and in the hospital this week, and He'd look at me and say, Ryan, oh, you have little faith. Why would He say that? Because there's a direct correlation between the size of your faith and the size of your worry. Oh, you have little faith. I wonder how many of us need to set our eyes back on Jesus today. We need to come and receive His mercy fresh for today's worry, knowing that He can handle our tomorrow. And so today, we want to give you that opportunity. We're going to have leaders at the front of the stage. They would love to pray for you. But some of you just need to come down by yourself and get on your knees and say, Jesus, I'm leaving this thing that I'm anxious about with you again. I'm coming to you for new mercy, for daily mercy for this thing. And here's my promise. Jesus says, if you'll come to me, I can handle the rest. All around the room, would you please close your eyes, bow your heads with me? This is meant to be a holy moment. A moment between you and God. And so I'm gonna ask that you not think about lunch, that you not think about what's going on the rest of your Labor Day weekend, but in this moment you would deal honestly with God and say, God, is there something that has taken the place of devotion in my heart? Is there something that I haven't trusted you with? Is there something that I need to bring you just in a fresh way today? As God puts that thing on your heart, I pray that you would leave it again at His feet. That you do it again tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, but that it would start today. Heavenly Father, I pray in this moment that we would respond to you. You've given the invitation, come to me. You who are weary, you who are anxious, you who are worried, come to me. I will give you rest. And Father, I pray that many would heed that invitation today, that we'd set our eyes on you, that we'd put our trust in you, knowing that you love us way more than a bird or a lily. And for those that don't know you, God, I pray that they would step out of their seat and they would give their life to you for the very first time today. Would you do what only you can do in this moment? It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.